You're listening to the Island Church Podcast. If you'd like more information or to donate to this ministry, visit islandchurch.tv.
This morning, we are looking at this subject, the truth will set you free. I'll wait till the shouts die down and we'll continue with the message. Most of us have heard the expression, the truth will set you free. Not everyone knows that Jesus is the one who said it. Here's what I've discovered after almost 40 years, or really over 40 years of being in ministry, is I've discovered this: the truth will set you free, but first, it makes you mad. It'll set you free or make you mad, and most of the time it makes you mad, and then you get set free. I read a story about some boys who skipped school one day, and when they got to school, the principal asked them, said, "Where you boys been?" So they said, "Oh, we had a flat tire." He said, "Okay." So he took them to a classroom, and he put each of them in a corner, four corners, and he went over to each of them, gave them a piece of paper, and whispered to them, "Write down which tire went flat." Guess what? They got busted. The truth came out. I skipped school. I think it was my senior year, actually, and I think I mentioned junior year in the last service, but it was my senior year. My best friend and I, Gary Saffer, spent all morning down at the Brown Derby, which was a little drive-in out in the country. We spent time in the back eating hamburgers and fries and playing pool for about 3 hours that morning. And we went to school during the lunch period because it was easy to pull in at lunch and everybody's milling around and just go in and just be a part of everything and then go to our fifth hour crowd. And then we heard over the intercom during that fifth hour, "Would Fred Franks and Gary Saffer please report to the office?" And we went in and our principal said, "Where you boys been this morning?" And we hem-hauled around and he said, "Well, I know where you've been. You've been at the Brown Derby." And we got busted, literally got busted that day. That's when you could bust someone, I guess. But the truth came out. The message today is about truth. And when we read these words, what Jesus said, you'll know the truth will make you free. I feel like I need to give a warning. You know, whenever we hear a tornado warning, and we don't hear a lot of tornado warnings here on the beach. When we lived in the Midwest, there were tornadoes that would come through, tornado warnings. We lived in California. It was funny that all the people in California, they said we could never live in the Midwest because of tornadoes. I'm thinking, dear Lord, you have earthquakes. You don't know when they're coming. At least a tornado gives you a little lead. There's a siren, but that siren goes off. It's a warning to take action immediately. When there's a hurricane coming and when they're able to pinpoint where it's going to hit and they issue an evacuation. Most people take action. Some people just go to the grocery store and come back home, but most people take action. Well, this morning, really, this is like a warning. And I believe that we should take action. And here's the warning: the rejection of absolute truth is destroying our moral foundation. I'll say it again. The rejection of absolute truth is destroying our moral foundation. We have a crisis in America, and it's truth decay. And I know when you hear truth decay, my mind goes to tooth decay. And there's tooth decay, but how many recognize there's truth decay? And we need to beware of the undermining of absolute truth. I grew up in an America where there were absolute truths. The Ten Commandments were posted in my junior high and in my high school. You know, we didn't have school shootings then. Fascinating, interesting. Probably every pickup or almost every pickup in the parking lot of my school had a gun rack in the back of it. Most of them had a gun on it. And after school or at lunch hour, guys would show the coaches, hey, look at my new 22, look at my shotgun, look at my rifle, depending on, is it, you know, dove or quail season, or is it rabbit and squirrels, or is it deer season? Nobody thought about shooting anybody. Maybe there was a message that was getting across, thou shalt not kill. I don't know. 1980, we took the Ten Commandments. Our government, the law, the Supreme Court said we can no longer have the Ten Commandments to hang in our schools. Today, truth is subjective and personal. People say there's no absolute truth. Whatever I feel to be truth is my truth. And my truth may not be your truth. Now, think about the contradiction for someone to say there is no absolute truth. They're saying it as a statement of absolute truth. George Barna, he's a researcher, and he did a research not long ago and asked Americans whether they believed in absolute truth. 66% of adults say there's no such thing as absolute truth. 91% of teenagers said that the truth is whatever they feel to be truth. Let me illustrate this conflict with a hot button issue in America, and it's gender identity. And I recognize that there are people who struggle with gender confusion. And as a church, we are always trying to help people, walk with people, and lead people in truth. But culture, we've arrived at a place where whatever gender you feel that you are today, that is your truth, so it's okay. And if you take that to extreme, listen, this is what I'm about to tell you, absolute truth. Paul Woschen, he's a 52-year-old man living with his wife and 7 children, can't deal with stress, and the way he deals with stress is to act like he's a little girl and play with dolls. That became his truth. So he left his family and moved into a home in Toronto with a couple that has now adopted him, his adopted parents. He took on the name of Stephanie, and he spends his time playing with dolls and with grandchildren of his adopted parents. I'm not making this stuff up. It's truth. Today, if you sign up for a new Facebook account, they will give you 58 different gender options to choose from. That's just one example where we've replaced biblical truth with personal subjective truth. Isaiah talked about this in Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20. He said, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, and put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. If we say that all truth is subjective, the results of that position become disastrous. If there's no such thing as absolute truth, then the Holocaust is simply Hitler's truth. And 9/11 is simply Osama bin Laden's truth. And as a culture, when we adopt this position, we head towards chaos. The book of Judges tells us of, of times that were evil, and it's really a reflection of our times. It's not in your notes, you'll need to jot it down, but it's in Judges 21 and verse 25, and it said, each man did what was right in his own eyes. And that's a definition of truth in our culture. Truth is whatever people think it is. Fascinating to me. Fascinating, and that's how we come up with 58 gender options. Jesus had this to say, the Bible has this to say, God created them male and female. Well, this morning, I want us to look at this passage of Scripture, and I use that just as an illustration because this passage of Scripture deals with truth. John 8, verse number 30, it says this, and as he was saying these things, many believed in him. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered him, we are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. Remember that phrase right there. Never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? Jesus answered him, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you. I speak of what I have seen in my father, and you do what you have heard from your father. They answered him, Abraham is our father. And Jesus said, if you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. You are doing the works of your father did. They said to him, we were not born of sexual immorality. We have one father, even God. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I came from God and I'm here. I am not of my own accord, but he sent me. This was an ongoing dialogue that was happening between the religious mafia of that day and Jesus. And it was this whole theme and conversation that would eventually lead to the arrest and the crucifixion of Jesus. But Jesus is in control of the timing. And he would be crucified during the Passover because he would illustrate that he is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. We'll get more into that in the days and weeks to come. In this particular passage, Jesus speaks about truth, absolute truth. He talks about truth in discipleship, he talks about truth in sin, and he talks about truth and freedom. And so I want us to walk through this quickly this morning. Number one is this, truth, real truth, the truth about discipleship is this, real disciples continue to grow. Real disciples continue to grow. Jesus said, if you abide in my word, or if you continue in my word, you are really my disciples. John 8 and verse 31. In verse number 30, it says that many believed and many followed after Jesus. So not everyone was opposing Jesus. There were those that were following him. And he said, listen, if you're really my disciples, then you're going to abide in my word. And that will be evidence that you are real, that you're the real deal. No doubt there were some there who saw the miracles, or maybe they were with a friend and they decided to follow Christ because of their friend, but there wasn't really a commitment to him. They were only mentally accepting Jesus. And some of that crowd a few weeks later would be yelling, crucify him. But Jesus is telling them, it's good that you believe in me, but the proof that you're really my disciple is that you will continue to follow me and obey me. This truth is the same today. There are crowds of people who initially they come to God. Maybe they come forward. Maybe they pray the sinner's prayer. Maybe they fill out their card. Every week we have someone fill out a card. They fill out the card and they turn it in to say, I accepted Christ today. Maybe they even get baptized. Many people continue on, but there are many that just stop. They don't continue. They become spiritual dropouts. They start one Sunday, but the next Sunday they're gone. Do you know that we have probably 1,500 to 2,000 people that would call the Island Church their home church? Meaning that if they died, they would put in the obituary that they were a member or they attended the Island Church. Or that they would ask Pastor Fred to do their memorial service. But do you realize that only half show up to worship? That half the people who call this their home church never open God's word, seldom pray, never tithe. And what I want people to realize is this. It's not that your name is on the church roll. What matters is your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. Of course, I'm speaking to those who are here. The ones I'm talking about aren't here. So this week, if you're out and about and you see the people that aren't here, you tell them the preacher's talking about them at church. There are many passages in the New Testament that confirm the real evidence of discipleship. I love Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. It says this, therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, we received Christ. We said yes. He knocked on our door. We said yes. The Bible said, Jesus said, but as many as received him, to them gave you power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And so we receive Jesus Christ. How many have received Christ into your life? Amen? All right, here's a disciple. They've received Christ, so they walk in the Lord. It's not a sprint. And the reason a lot of people end up falling off the track is they're trying to make it a sprint. It's that daily grind. It's that loving God, loving his word, loving the things of God, loving the people of God. They continue. They just stay after it. So they walk in him. They walk in Christ. They are rooted. Number two, they are rooted and built up in him. In other words, they have roots that go down and they're getting nourished. So the roots down deep, and so even when it's dry, the roots are down deep, so they're not blown around with every wind of doctrine, so they don't get offended at everything the preacher says or what somebody does. They're rooted, they're built up, they're strong in the Lord. And then it says established. There's a sense of living in faith. Their faith is strong. You know, some people, if God doesn't answer the prayer for them the way they want, then they're off and chasing something else, going somewhere else, doing something else. People that are established in faith recognize God's sovereign. He's given me opportunity to pray. I have not because I ask not. Whatever things I desire, when I pray, I believe I receive them and I'm gonna have them. But I trust a God who's smarter than me, and no matter what he says, I'm gonna trust God in this. That's being established. It's not fly by night. saying, I'm trusting the Lord and I'm believing, I'm following him, and that everything's going to work out for my good, because all things work together for the good of those who love God. And I love God, and I'm called according to his purpose, and I'm rooted in him. That's maturity, folks. That's the kind of folks that God wants to make us. Somebody say a big amen. Just as you were taught. Just as you were taught. Are you teachable? Are you teachable? Everybody says they are, but most people aren't. Change is hard. Can't change. Being teachable means I have to change. I can't keep doing the same old thing, expecting different results. I've got to do some changing. Just as you were taught, willing to be a disciple, willing to be taught, willing to grow, and then they recognize this, abounding in thanksgiving. They realize that life isn't all about them, and it's not all about where they live and what they drive and how much money they have. They realize it's about the grace of God, and I'm so grateful, and I give you glory, honor. I am so thankful. Thank God. Oh, God, I bless you. I thank you. You are good. Amen. See, what we're talking about here is a disciple. Is that what you are? Is that the kind of person that you are? Growing in him? Growing? You know, here's an interesting thing. We're all growing older. We're all growing older. And have you noticed this? That growing older is like a roll of toilet paper. The closer you get to the end, the faster it goes. Growing older doesn't necessarily mean that you're mature. Growing older doesn't necessarily mean that you are growing deeper spiritually. Here's what I've discovered in older people, but really in all people. People that get cranky, cantankerous, and we usually equate that to when we're getting older, but Lord, I've seen younger people this way, younger couples this way, middle-aged this way. And I think it has to do with this. We don't understand that God's called us to be involved in ministry. And if all you do is receive, 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 but you don't give, you're going to be cantankerous. You're going to be a pill. You're going to be hard to deal with because you've got it all up here, but you ain't involved in anything. So you become a master critic. And that's what happens to a lot of people. They don't involve themselves. God saves us. God fills us. See, I've purposed in my mind, I'm going to be the youngest old timer you'll ever see. I'm not going to become cranky when I get old. Amen? I'm not getting cranky. I'm not getting older and getting meaner. I'm going to get older and get sweeter. You know why? Because I'm going to love and I'm going to give and I'm going to keep giving. How about you? Amen? Sure. It's about learning to give. It's about growing. It's about adapting. One of the things that I love, there's so many things. I wish you could have met my dad. My dad was larger than life. He was a big personality. He impacted his community. He loved God, loved his church, loved his family. But I'm going to tell you, he was still running a youth camp at 80 years old. He was still pouring his life into young people. He was still changing. In fact, he probably changed more the last 20 years of his life than he did all before that. And I believe that's what kept him relevant. Even though his body was fading, it kept him relevant to his world. God, help us, no matter what our age, to be growing. What do we do to grow? What do we do to grow? Let me give you four things. So simple. Think of the cross. Think of the cross. The vertical axis speaks of this. It speaks of praying to God the Father. And it speaks of listening to God through his word. Praying to God the Father and listening through his word. So talk to God in prayer. Everybody say pray. And listen to God through his word. Everybody say word. How many times have we heard we need to pray and be in God's word? But that's the key. And then the vertical axis is this. It's fellowshipping with believers, which means we need to be together. We need to be in church. We need to be in church. You need to be in church. Your kids need to be in church. If ever in all the world we needed to be in church, it's the day we ought to be in church. And we look at church as an option if I don't have anything better to do. Pastoring at the beach, holy cow, you talk about a challenge. You got the beach, you got babes, you got balls, you got bushwhackers, you got all the bees of life. Crazy. If it rains, we can't get out in the rain. If it's sunshine, we'll go to the beach. Where's church? I just think church ought to be a part. Here's what the Bible says. Forsake not the assembling of yourself together. There's something about praying together. There's something about praising together. There's something about being challenged by God's word. I've never been to church that I didn't feel God do something in my life. And so this whole idea of growing in him. And so we have this fellowship with the believers, and then share your faith with non-believers. Evangelism. Pray the word of God, be in church, and tell others about Jesus. You do those things. You commit to those things. You do those things every week. You do those things every day. You commit to it. You will grow. He's called us. The truth about discipleship is that we need to be growing. The truth about sin, is this. Sin will blind you and bind you. Everyone who practices, are you practicing sin? Are you a slave to sin? What are you a slave to? You say, I ain't a slave to nothing. Well, maybe you're like the children of Israel. You know, these Jewish leaders, they said, we're of Abraham. We've never been slaves. What a joke. Their ancestors were slaves in Egypt. They were slaves to the Assyrians. They were slaves to the Babylonians. And at that moment, they was under the rulership of Rome. We've never been slaves. Sin will blind you. And it will bind you. You won't see it. You won't see it. You're immune to it. It happens in addiction. We all know about drugs and alcohol and pornography. And if you're not seeking to walk in freedom, if you're not making effort, you're not committed to recovery, committed to walking in righteousness, being involved in Celebrate Recovery, being involved in programs and ministries that keep you accountable. You know, if you're not doing that, you say to someone who's in bondage, you know what they'll say? I can quit anytime I want. Over and over and over and over. Interventions happen. I don't have a problem. I'm okay. Can I tell you this? There are people call themselves children of God that are in bondage to a negative critical spirit. They're just negative and critical. If they say something, they can't say something good without countering it with something bad. They're gonna say something positive, but you know, get ready, they're gonna say something negative about that person or someone connected to them. And I wonder, do they know it? Do they realize what they say? Every time they say something, they're playing devil's advocate, saying something negative. You know what I think? I think they're blind and bound to a negative spirit, to a critical spirit. Blind and bound to to sin and to worry and to anxiety, not walking in freedom. One of the saddest stories in the Bible is in Judges 16:20. The Philistines are upon you, Samson. And he awoke from his sleep and said, I'll go out as other times and shake myself. But he did not know the Lord had left him. Listen, there are people who think they're living for God. They don't even realize. They're not acting like it. They're not talking like it. They're not living like it. And they're sure not experiencing it. And they don't even realize it. That's why we need to be in church. That's why we need the conviction of the Holy Spirit. God, shine your light on me. Amen. Oh, I need it. We can deceive our own self. The Bible says in James, deceiving your own self. The Bible says the heart is deceptive above all. My dad used to say it this way, sin will take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. But the good news is Jesus came to set the captive free. Amen? Amen. Amen. And that's the last thing, the truth about forgiveness. Jesus forgives and frees us. You'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Jesus paid the price. I don't have to have fear of judgment. I have freedom from guilt. I have freedom in Christ. But here's the big idea. Freedom isn't doing what I want to do. It's being what I ought to be. Hello? He sets us free. Not saying, well, I can do anything I want. Bless God, I'm an American. I can say what I want and do what I want. Well, you might be able to as an American, but as a part of the body of Christ, you can't do it and keep your freedom. Because if you live how you want and say what you want, you're putting yourself right back into chains. Freedom isn't doing what I want. Freedom is being what I ought to be. Amen? Do you believe that? Do you really believe that? In the civil rights movement, 1960s, we all know what happened in America and the horror of it. There was a church, I read the story about a church who in the 60s made a declaration that no black man would ever walk through these doors to worship in this church. There was a boy in that church that grew up to go into ministry. He went away and he came back home and they had him preach, and he knew what that church had said and knew how that church had reacted. And he preached from 1 John 4, where it says, if a man says he loves God but doesn't love his brother, he's a liar and the truth is not in him. God is no respecter of persons. He said he probably said it with a lot of zeal and maybe not a whole lot of knowledge. But he said, I bluntly said, if you say you love God and you don't love a brother or sister because their skin is black, brown, yellow, or purple, you're a liar and you've never been born again. You need to repent and get saved. He said there was an old deacon that met him after church and said, son, I don't care what you said. I don't care what you said. I'm not going there. And that young preacher said, well, what about what the Bible says? And he said, I don't care what the Bible says. And he said, and therein lies the problem. That summarized the problem. That sounds a whole lot like our culture today. Because our culture, multitudes of people are saying, I don't care what the Bible says. Truth is what I believe it is. Truth is what I say it is. Well, heaven and earth will pass away, but God's word will never pass away. Amen? God's word is truth. God's worth is truth. Satan is a liar and a divider. God is a lover and a uniter. Amen? Amen. And God's word is truth. And may we be washed with truth. And may we walk in truth. And may we live truth. See, the truth of the matter is, if you're a disciple, you ought to be growing. And the truth of the matter is, if you are in sin, you are blind and you're bound. And the truth of the matter is, Jesus has come to set the captive free. So we can be free, not to do what I want, but to be what I ought to be. Somebody shout amen today. That's God's word. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Island Church Podcast. For more information, visit islandchurch.tv.